Let's talk about what you can publish about when you are 100% stuck, out of ideas, nothing to say, out of inspiration, feeling terrible because you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, whatever it is, it's going to happen if you do this daily publication thing long enough. And as I mentioned earlier, in a way, I hope that you hit the wall during this 3-month period. And this is a little different, what I'm going to talk about, than hitting the wall. Hitting the wall is more, kind of feels like an existential crisis or some sort of deep crisis where you start to doubt yourself and you push through it and you realize that your doubts were misplaced. You could do this thing that you doubted you could do. That's a little different. What I'm talking about here is, I think, a little more frequent, a little more occasional, a little more small in scope. And this is just like, you know, man, I'm committed to this daily publication thing. I want to get an email out and I got nothing. I don't know what to write about. I'm going to talk you through a list of ideas for when that happens. So the first thing you should do is look at your list of email ideas. Pick something, anything from it, and write a shitty email about it and send it. And just don't overthink it. I assume you have heeded my earlier advice to find some way that is super convenient to record ideas that occur to you in the course of your life. And you are working at becoming disciplined about recording those ideas in the moment. So you should, on day one, you won't, but you should start to accumulate a list of ideas. And, you know, for me, this is stuff that in just any way is interesting or poignant or just kind of grabs my attention. So when I jot those ideas down, I don't know what I'm going to do with them later. I just know that they were worthy somehow of my attention. And I'll figure out later what they might be used for. And this is one of those later times when, you know, I run into this and I'll go back to that list and just sort of scroll through it and see if anything grabs me. And it doesn't matter. I don't feel any loyalty to the list, meaning just because it's on the list, I don't have to write about it. But the list is there as fodder or raw material to spur thinking in these moments of like, I don't have anything to say or nothing's on my mind right now. I will say that this has been happening less and less frequently for me. But in the first year or two of doing this, it happened more frequently. And so, again, the list is really valuable for that purpose. So that's the first thing I would recommend doing is visit your list of ideas. But if that doesn't work, then I've got a bunch of other ideas for you. You can comment upon relevant news or current events that are within the area of focus. So if you're focused on a vertical, you can comment on stuff that's happening in the vertical or news about things that are happening in the vertical or news from outside the vertical that is relevant to the vertical. If you're focused more horizontally, then same idea applies. It's just not focused on a vertical. It's more focused on the sort of area of business in which you're focused. You're trying to develop expertise and your skills are focused. So just commenting on stuff is really what I'm saying. Again, the main idea always is that what you publish produces a positive ROI on the time it takes to read it. Not for your entire list, but for a subset of the list. And so keep that in mind as you're thinking about what you might comment on. The nice thing about this approach is it frees you from having to come up with the idea yourself. You can just be sort of moved or moved to take action and weigh in with your opinion on something that's happening. Or there might be a lesson in something that's happening, or something that's happening in the industry might reinforce your viewpoint or seem to go against your viewpoint. Either way, this can be a really useful source of ideas for what to write about. You can revisit an old topic or email that you've sent in the past with something new to say about it, or some new take on it, or some new nuance, or something like that. So again, on day one, you're not going to do this, but you know, ways into it, you can revisit old emails and add something new. You can tell a story and find a way to link that story to the theme of what your email list is about or what you're trying to help people understand. I used to do this a lot more in the early days of daily publication because I did not have as nuanced or as well-developed a take on, you know, my subject area as I do now. So I relied a lot more on, you know, hey, this interesting thing happened, and then I would kind of segue from there into the point of the email. So I was always trying to bring it back home to some kind of point. But a lot of times I was just starting it off with a story because I know a couple things. I've had some, you know, reasonably interesting, weird things happen in my life, and it's fun to talk about those. And it can make for a relatively engaging email list when the person on the receiving end trusts that they're going to get something that's worth their while, but they don't know exactly what it's going to look like. That variety can keep folks interested and engaged. And stories are just fun. You know, they just have a sort of natural appeal. Like something happened and, you know, there's a moment of tension. What's going to happen next? And then the tension is resolved by what happens next, which sets up the next, round of tension and release. So just being good at telling stories is a tremendously useful skill. So it's also an opportunity for you to practice doing that. And, you know, how low a threshold you'll set for what's a story that's worth telling my list depends on you. It feels weird at first, to be honest, to be sharing stories from your personal life in the context of a, you know, business email list. But these stories humanize you, and they create this sort of asymmetrical vulnerability or asymmetrical intimacy, I guess, where your audience feels like they know you better than you know them, which gives them a sort of comfort in relating to you. And I find that that can be a really good thing because that leads to trust building. So I think there are some pretty sound reasons to incorporate storytelling. And, you know, one of our ideals in this program is that you are willing to do things that don't live up to your own ideals in order to get to the point where you can do things in the way that lives up to your ideals. In other words, you're okay with imperfection. So I want to encourage you to give the story thing a try at least a few times, because it can certainly get you out of a sort of inspiration deficit to do this. Next, solicit input from your audience, assuming you have one. So learn more about them. And this might be hyper-focused on your area of expertise, or it might just be like, gosh, I'd like to know more about the people who are on my email list, just in general. So, you know, what you ask them to tell you about themselves is up to you, but just know that it can be a pretty broad range of stuff. And you could point them to a survey or a form, or you could just ask folks to click reply. Them clicking reply opens the door to an email conversation and incidentally signals to their email spam filter that you are someone that they would like to communicate with, which helps with deliverability. Related to this, you can run some kind of crazy idea past your audience and then solicit their reaction. Now, I don't mean intentionally crazy. I say crazy idea, meaning maybe you're thinking about something that you're just not all that sure about, but you would want to talk about it with folks who could be your clients in order to get their take on it or to kind of further develop the idea. So, you know, crazy idea doesn't mean like offensively weird or anything like that. It just means it's something that's not fully developed yet. And, you know, again, this is going to vary based on your comfort level, but I think engaging in the conversation with your email list around things that you're not, haven't fully made up your mind about is fine. It humanizes you. I don't think it really detracts from your perceived expertise, because as you're doing this, hopefully you're demonstrating that you're a thoughtful, driven, curious person. And that is far more meaningful and true, honestly, than someone who claims to know it all. So I'm pretty into the idea of being very authentic and somewhat vulnerable and very real with your email list. And so saying, hey, you know, I'm thinking about this thing, and I honestly haven't made up my mind about it, but I think this or seems like this. It's a way to expose your thinking to your audience, but it's also a way to recruit their thinking and their engagement as well. And all of that can be really good stuff. Next, you can ask a question that people will enjoy answering, specifically the people on your email list. What question could that be? I don't know. But, you know, it could be something anywhere from a kind of out of left field oddball question to something more topical to your business focus. But, one of the ones that I did in the past was as I was entering, let's see, this was a few years ago, but it might be the most responded to email I've ever sent my email list. I was starting to put on a little weight and had not started working out weekly as I am now. This was before then. And so I was asking, what do you do about man boobs? Was the email I sent to my list. And it just got, I don't know, probably over 100 replies. Some people just were like, ah, that's hilarious. And other people were like, hey, I had the same problem and here's what I did. And other people were like, I have no idea what to do, but good luck with that. And, you know, I made some jokes in there about my wife, like not really appreciating this change in my body. And anyway, I don't need to belabor the point. It was just a zany out of left field question, but you know, it was a moment of entertainment, and some people spent like a lot of time working on their reply. One guy sent me an Amazon gift card and was like, buy this particular book. I promise it'll help. So, you know, a lot of folks were like, I don't know, almost appreciative of the opportunity to share something that they had learned or some bit of their experience. So when I say ask a question people will enjoy answering, that gives you a sense of what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you should be as zany or out of left field as I was. But, it was a lot of fun for about a week and of just kind of going back and forth with people and seeing people respond to that email. Next, you can point to and promote someone else's content. Again, if you believe a subset of your audience may find it valuable, if you're stuck for something original to say, that's okay. You can say, you know, I was reading this thing recently and I think it's right on, or I think they're a little off base and here's why, or, you know, I don't have an opinion, but I think you might find it valuable because I know a lot of you struggle with this. Tell me what you think. So pointing to someone else's content, I think can be a really great way to fill in those gaps, those days where you're just not quite sure what to talk about. Next, you can point to some other piece of content that you've created. Could be I've guested on quite a few podcasts. So that's something I've done in the past, is link people to a podcast I've been on. And by the way, this is not something I would just wait until I'm stuck to do. I would do it anyway after appearing on the podcast. But it's also useful, you know, maybe to have a sort of short cache of, you know, stuff that you can point people to where it's you, you know, it's you showing up in the world as some kind of authority or expert. And you can just use that as, I want to say filler content, and then I want to not say that because, again, it should be valuable. And the idea of filler content is that it, you know, you did it because you had to and it wasn't valuable. But this situation we're talking about where you're stuck, you can't think of what to send your list, pointing them to some, you know, thing you did in your past that might be useful to them is fine, even if it's a little bit old or out of date. I've mentioned in the past that entertainment is very valuable, or it's very valued by our culture, and there's a way to do that in a business context that really works. And you can also just do it as a human and say, you know, I ran across this thing and it was hilarious. This video made me laugh, or, you know, some sort of thank God it's Friday, or wow, it's Monday and you already need a break kind of humor is something you could send. I would not overuse this, of course, but again, for those moments when you're stuck, it's an option. Answer a common question you've gotten from your clients. That's another good one because, you could do this in a sort of structured way. You could actually sit down and try to make a list of every question you've ever gotten from a client and keep adding to that list as new ones occur to you. But, you know, if you're stuck, so you could kind of return to that list if you get stuck, or you could make that list and then systematically work your way through answering each one of those questions. But, you know, if you get stuck, something that's useful is just to say, you know, what do people probably not know or misunderstand or want to know more about or have questions about that's related to my work? And you can just pretend as if someone has asked you that question, and then you can answer it in an email. Two more to list for you here. Two more ideas. The second is to create some kind of useful checklist. There's something innately appealing about checklists. And of course, clickbaity content marketers, you know, race to the bottom content marketers have definitely overused this. The fact that we want to know if there are 7 or 9 or 11 or 51 or whatever things that you need to know about something, we want to know them all. And well, that's essentially a checklist. So, you know, that's a relatively useful content format if you don't just take it too far and just do it because you know that it's inherently appealing. There needs to be something substantial in there, but some kind of useful checklist could make for a very easy email to write and a very useful email for your audience to receive. And then lastly, I want to say providing your take on some controversial topic within your area of focus, your opinion, your point of view on that topic, I think is useful. Again, this takes some of the pressure off you because what you're doing is looking outside yourself and saying, okay, within this field, this area of focus that I'm focused on, what is controversial? What is not agreed upon? What do people differ on? And how can I show up in that discussion with my opinion or my point of view or my perspective on which side is right or which side is not right? That stuff also tends to be inherently pretty interesting for your audience. Okay, I don't know how many ideas that is, but as I'm scrolling up and down my list here, it feels like more than 10. And they're all really useful, I have found, in getting unstuck when you're stuck for something to say. They help you keep the momentum going. All of these can be used to create an email that has a positive ROI on the time it takes to read it. And all of these ideas, again, kind of help you keep the cadence and help you avoid doing the main thing you don't want to do, which is miss a day of publishing, because one day can turn into 2 days, can turn into five. And if that happens, you are going to forgive yourself. You're going to dust yourself off. You're going to get back on the horse, so to speak, and you're going to get back into publishing. And you're going to say, well, I missed a week or I missed X days. Oh, well, moving on. So you're not going to beat yourself up, because I am certainly not going to beat anybody up about that. This is a, you know, seriously difficult challenge. So we're all just sort of forgiving ourselves for our shortfalls when they do come up and just returning to the task. And so that was an unintended sideline there. My point is these are little ways that you can use to keep the cadence going and prevent yourself from falling off the horse. And hopefully you find this helpful and useful.